Michael? Is it Michael?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
Okay, we are recording whenever you're ready to start, Mr.
I'm going to start in 30 seconds.
90 people in here.
Good. Okay.
Michael, how are you?
Very good, sir.
It's good to hear your voice.
It's Michael from Indiana. Let me just put this away, and let me get upstairs, and hold on.
Michael, if you could, so there's another David Dino Taris. Can you unmute that one also?
Okay, we're ready to start. Welcome to our kind of like next to last session before the banquet. I've known David Dino Taris for a long time. If you ask him how long, he'll say too long. But yes. I've known him for a long time since he was about 14 years old. 15 years old when I met him, and I'm not going to tell you he's 51, so I'm not going to tell you how many years that is. It's quite a few. You'll hear my story about David and Geraldine tonight during my Why I'm a Federationist. Callie Brendel, I met over the telephone, through email, through her presentations at National Convention, a young advocate, which is wonderful. So, David, let me turn it over to you. We need to do this till about 2:50, so go ahead.
Absolutely, Joe, it's absolutely a privilege to be with you today. I guess it's been it's been a quick 27 years, right? And it's been a privilege to work with you and get to know you through the Association of Blind Athletes, and then of New Jersey, and then the NFB. And I remember just sharing, Joe, just attending. It was 1992. I wanted to share this story, Joe. It was 1992. I was graduating college, and my mother said, "Hey, I bought you a ticket to go to the NFB convention in South Carolina or North Carolina, and I said, I'm not going to that, and I'm not going to hang around with those blind people, and I'm not one of those blind people, and I'm not going." She says, "It's too late, and I already bought the bus ticket, and I got one for Marianne also, who was my girlfriend at the time." And I'm like, I don't know if Marianne's going to be allowed to do that. So she said, "I already talked to her dad. I called her dad up. He said it was fine." She was taking no for an answer. She wasn't doing it. And so we got on the bus, Joe, and just 12 hours. I don't know how many hour bus ride, and we went down there, and my first convention. And I remember actually, seeing you in the exhibit hall and how excited you were to be there and coming up with ideas and strategies to, bring more money into the Federation. I'm like, look how excited this guy is. And I was always inspired by your enthusiasm, right? Nothing ever great was accomplished without enthusiasm. The last four letters of the word enthusiasm, IASM, I am sold myself. And you have always sold on the Federation. You were always sold on the philosophy, and you just always love bringing people together, and that's your gift. And your gift is also to make people feel comfortable. You'll remember our friend Mike Leone, who said, Mike Leone was a good friend of mine and Joe's in the 90s and early 2000s. Mike was a gentleman who worked for Beltlantic, who was in a wheelchair from polio, and he would come to a lot of meetings, and he would say, Dave, if after 10 minutes they're still focused on Dave the blind guy, then you didn't do a very good job of making them feel comfortable with you and your abilities. And one of Joe's other gifts is to make people feel comfortable with his abilities and their abilities. So that was just another gift. Something else I also learned about Joe is don't ever believe him when he says he wants to give you a little project, because he had asked me in 1993 if I'd be the coordinator for job opportunities for the blind. And he said, oh, you just do it and you might learn. I did that for, I think, 10 years, but I learned more there. I learned how to organize events, and I learned how to organize trainings, and I learned how to write press releases, and all of those skills. Well, can't spell volunteer. Joe taught me can't spell volunteer without you in it. And Joe taught me to volunteer, and you'll develop skills. And all these skills I developed that helped me to have just a wonderful career in working in blindness agencies in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and now owning my own company. But something else Joe taught me is if you could make people laugh and make them feel good, that you'll help break down some barriers as well. So Joe, I'm going to just share this quick story with you, and then I'm going to introduce our amazing guest.
Go ahead.
So Joe, this is Joe. I know you like employment stories.
Yes, I do. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I do. So there was this gentleman. And, many people have called you up, I'm sure, and said, hey, I'm looking for a job, he said to his one friend, I'm looking for a job. He says, I said, I hear that the zoo is hiring. He said, well, I don't know anything about it, working at the zoo. He says, well, that's who I see is hiring. You should go visit. So he went down, he met the zookeeper, and the zookeeper said, well, he says, we just filled that job. So I'm sorry, we can't help you. Oh, you don't have any other jobs? Well, there's one other job that just opened up yesterday. I'm sorry to share. He says our prize exhibit, Bobo the gorilla, he died yesterday. He was with us for a very long time, and he died. Would you be interested in maybe dressing up in a gorilla outfit and entertaining the guests while we can, get a new gorilla? He said, I've never done that before. So that's the only job I got. So take it, or thanks for coming in. He says, oh, I guess I'll try. He says, all right. He says, go down to human resources and find out if they've got a gorilla costume. So he goes down to human resources to find out if they got a gorilla. Well, amazingly enough, they got a gorilla costume in human resources. So this is absolutely amazing. So he said, what do I do now? He put the gorilla costume on and go entertain the guests. So he went and he got in the gorilla cage, and he's entertaining the guests, and he's jumping up and down. Whatever they did, he would do. He'd wave. He'd jump up and down, monkey see, monkey do. Well, so then he saw above his head, he saw this rope. He said, I wonder if I could jump up that rope and swing back and forth like a giant trapeze. So he grabbed the rope and he's swinging back and forth. And he noticed that the more enthusiastic he got, the higher he swung, the louder the people cheered. And the higher he swung, they cheered even louder. And he really got into it. He was so enthusiastic. He got into it. You got to get into it. Whatever you're doing, you got to get into it. And he got into it. He was swinging. And Joe, he was swinging so high. And oh, my God, he lost his grip. And he launched himself into the lion's den, Joe, into the lion's den. And he started screaming, help, help, he's going to kill me. And the lion ran over and jumped on top of him and said, if you don't shut up, we're both going to get fired.
That's a David Unitaris. Thank you,
David. But Joe, we don't want anyone to shut up. We want people to speak up. And you've taught us to speak up. And you've taught us that when we get together, that when we come together, we might not always agree, but when we work together, we believe in one another, we can get around a project, an idea, a concept, an initiative, and change people's lives. And you've taught us that, and I want to thank you for that. And Joe, I'd love to introduce Callie Brindle. And Callie is a senior at Howell High School. And Joe, she is not only just a regular senior, but she's taking 4 advanced classes. She's also the captain of the mock trial team. She also started an international choir of blind students. And she is a believer in the National Federation of the Blind. And Callie, welcome aboard. Can you hear us okay, Callie?
Yes, it's Kaylee. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Kaylee, yes. Kaylee,
we hear you
yes.
loud and clear, Kaylee, loud and clear. And don't forget, applications for scholarship just came out November 1st, and you better fill one out. All right, very good.
All right, Kaylee, take it away.
All right, so thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. So as David said, my name is Kaylee Brendel. I am a senior in high school, specifically in the Scholar Center for the Humanities program, housed at Howell High School. This is a liberal arts program that focuses on collegiate writing classes, and I've been in this program for 4 years. It's been absolutely incredible. And being a visually impaired student definitely poses a bit of a challenge, as many of you know, but I am extremely fortunate in that ever since I entered the education system at 3 years old, I've had the most amazing advocate by my side, and that would be my mom. My brother is completely blind, and my mom gave everything to assist in his and my education. And when I was too young and, you know, speaking too colloquially to advocate for myself, she advocated for me. And over time, my amazing support system that she worked to create slowly loosened the reins. And as I entered high school, they especially wanted me to become my own advocate because they knew that I knew my needs and the teachers knew the course material. So they knew that I was capable of fostering a collaborative relationship with them. So that's what they worked on me being able to do. And after, you know, some successes and some failures, I started to do it on my own. And now I'm at a point where I speak directly with all of my teachers. I speak directly with my case manager, with the supervisor of any department I need, because they know the course load and I know my needs. And through these experiences, I have been able to gain the integral skill of being able to articulate my needs in a professional and clear manner. And, you know, junior year especially helped me grow those skill sets because I wasn't only advocating to teachers, I was advocating to a massive organization. I was advocating to federal attorneys. I was advocating to media outlets. And that was in the sense that those advanced placement courses that David had mentioned, I took 4 more in junior year. And in the midst of the COVID pandemic, we were denied Braille on our exams. So all of those advocacy skills that are so fundamental to my success as a blind student, they really came into fruition. And I feel like adults always tell blind youth, you're going to use it. You are going to use these skills eventually. And we don't, you know, we might not necessarily believe them right away, but that was the textbook example of a real life application instance in which every single skill I developed came into complete use. And all those times that I'd spent learning how to develop a way of communicating, they really helped me out. And I spent 3 weeks navigating those exchanges. And I came out on the other side, having gained Braille in the exams and with the AP Scholar with Honor Award at my belt and on my resume for college applications, which never would have been possible if I didn't learn how to advocate for myself and what I need. And I learned how to advocate for myself and what I need from the best possible role models. And yeah.
Can you share, you mentioned skills.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of students on the calls today. Some are students in school and some are students of life. What are the skills that you're talking about? What are the skills that you have found that have helped you take advanced, you know, high school classes? Because what are the skills that, you know, your mom, who's the best advocate who taught you, what were the skills that mom helped advocate for that you developed?
So it's actually an acronym that I learned from you, ABC, Assistive Technology, Braille, and Cane Travel. And she definitely, you know, pioneered those skills in me and ensured that I had them. So for assistive technology, you know, in my experience leading the blind choir, I know that different students like to be particularly set on different technologies. Oh, well, I only use JAWS. I only use VoiceOver. But it's extremely imperative that you're versatile. And my parents and my teachers always ensured that I can use JAWS just as well as I can use VoiceOver, just as well as I can use, you know, Chrome Vox or the screen reading software on the Braille Note Touch. So they ensure that I am just as able to succeed on a HumanWare product as a Freedom Scientific product as I am on an Apple product. So if you know how to navigate on any piece of technology, that ensures that you are capable of troubleshooting, because things happen, you know, technology glitches, and you can't always just have one device to rely on. You need to have a myriad of different options. And that's a skill that I developed over the course of my life. And I even used it this week because my computer wiped out an entire response that I gave. So I needed to be able to troubleshoot and figure out, okay, I am in a time crunch. How am I going to do this? And due to the problem solving skills and assistive technology skills that I gained, I was allowed to do that. And then another one would definitely be Braille.
Yeah.
Braille is, it's a must. It's not an option. It's a must. It's something that every blind student, in my opinion, should learn. And I think I started reading at the age of 3. And I've never stopped. You know, I want to be an English major and then a disability rights attorney. So I'm going to be reading forever. And I'm A-okay with that. I absolutely love to read and write. And that was something that my family always stressed. And Braille allows you to do that seamlessly and fluently. It's a whole language. And my first commission for the blind correspondent, Gloria Radzelowitz, she encouraged me to get involved in something called the Braille Challenge. And yes. I have been involved. This is going to be my 12th year. It's so bittersweet because I love this so much. It's such a community. There are like 1,600 students from across the United States and Canada that participate in the preliminary round. And then 50 qualify for the nationals that take place on the amazing University of Southern California campus every June following the conclusion of the school year. And amazing prizes are offered for the top 3 recipients. But even just qualifying for the top 10 is an amazing and unforgettable accomplishment. They really do an amazing job of encouraging all of the students who attend. And, you know, you walk down that red carpet and you go into your testing rooms and you practice the skills and you put them into application. There's, you know, the 4 categories of you proofread Braille, you know, the standard reading comprehension that you might see on a standardized test. You work with tactile graphics and you try to transcribe Braille as you hear it, in my case. And for the little guys, there's spelling too. And it's incredible. There's nothing like it. And it really stresses how important Braille is. And then that final pillar of cane travel, that is just essential because you need to know how to navigate your surroundings. Because yes, everyone has their challenges, but everyone also has their solutions. And it's a matter of being willing to find them and apply them. And a mobility instructor will help you do that and get those integrating skills of, you know, reversing your routes and knowing how to analyze an intersection. And even just, it's a mindset, you know, how do you go about navigating a restaurant when it's dark, like dimly lit and you need to order your food? And you know, not everyone has someone there all the time. So when you don't, you need to have those blindness skills to know how to navigate such a situation like that.
Cal, can you share, do you have any vision?
I do. I have Leber's congenital amaurosis. I have some usable vision. I have no peripheral vision. I have no depth perception. It's definitely more nearsighted. And without my glasses, I can't really see anything at all. And I am definitely a dominantly Braille reader. I can read print, but not without significant pain. And I have nystagmus and strabismus as well.
Right. Yes. So tell us, you talked about the assistive technology skills. You talked about your Braille and your literacy skills. You talked about your cane and your travel skills. And then you also have some amazing leadership skills. Can you tell us about some of your accomplishments in the areas of leadership and networking?
Of course. So I, as you know, you said, I lead the mock trial team. I'm the captain of my school's mock trial team. And that was, you know, a role that I never expected to take on at such a young age, because I was supposed to be co-captain my sophomore year. And all of a sudden, the teacher coach, unfortunately, was involved in an accident and couldn't lead us. And the person that was supposed to assume the captain's role quit the club. So I found myself with an entire extracurricular activity on my shoulders. And I had to teach myself the material and then teach it to 20 kids, which was quite an experience. But, you know, from the moment that I entered the courtroom that competition season and, you know, spoke in front of the judge and I served as head counsel, I knew that, that was where I was supposed to be. And I knew that everything I had worked so hard for and the other students had worked so hard for had finally come to come about. And being a leader, everyone has their own definition of what a leader is. And everyone has their own set of criteria for what defines someone as a leader. And I would say mine, it's hard to come up with an exact series of words that can encapsulate the essence of what a leader is. But it's something that you learn through application. I didn't know going in how to captain a mock trial team. I figured it out as I went. And the important part of that was that I knew I had a commitment to uphold, and I knew that I needed to do this and I wanted to do this. And that allowed me to be successful. And then with my choir, we have, you know, almost 90 members from 8 countries. And that's a lot of responsibility on one person.
So wait. How did you, as a high school student, organize? You got to back up for me a little bit. You know, how did you, as a high school student, like, where did you come up with this idea to start a choir? Like, help me out here.
Of course. So in 8th grade, I was president of my school's National Junior Honor Society chapter. And my advisor had said, okay, now you're going to begin your service learning projects and you need to create a service learning project. So my friend was going to do a veteran awareness function. And I said, you know what would be cool is if a couple of my visually impaired friends, you know, formed a little musical ensemble and performed at your function. So at first it was only people in the state of New Jersey. And my friend's event didn't end up coming into existence. And I had so many people that I developed from my networking opportunities with the Braille Challenge and their friends asking, well, can I join? So I expanded it to a national scale and I said, okay, let's meet online. And we used Skype at first and we started coordinating pieces and we were still a small little group, but eventually it kept expanding. And we called ourselves at that time the Sing for the Spring Choir because of the season. And then the year ended and I didn't want to end that choir. I didn't want to give it up. There was something there and it had become so special to me. And I said, you know what? Let's continue this. So I named it the Sing for Serenity Choir. And we attempted to make that choir feel like a family and a safe space, an escape. And the word grew and we began posting our pieces on YouTube, our culminations of our efforts. And we had, because we were all girls at first too, and then we had our first boy, and I had to figure out how to arrange, you know, for 4 parts. And it was very, you know, it was demanding, but I was very happy to uphold it. And then we had a member from Canada that expressed interest in joining. And over the quarantine, we had members from, you know, now we have Germany, Austria, Singapore, Kenya, South Africa, Italy, and they all wanted to be a part of this. So we made it international. It was international as soon as that Canadian member joined, and now it's gigantic. And it is a lot to manage. And I have section leaders, including someone who is a part of the New Jersey National Federation of the Blind. You know, she was our section leader for many years, and she's absolutely incredible at what she did for us. And, you know, it really is a family, and it's knowing how to ask for help when you need it. It's knowing that on those late nights when I'm trying to figure out what five parts are doing, because we have a tenor part now, what five parts are doing in a song at, you know, 12 at night, knowing that it's worth it and knowing that this is for people who love this and need this. And I love it and need it too.
That's great. So you've really accomplished some amazing things, and you've obviously worked very hard and you're very dedicated. Can you tell me, and I hope this isn't, you know, what are you most proud of?
That is a really hard question. I would say it's probably, there's three things that come to mind right away.
Okay.
There's one activity that I haven't really talked about that I participated since I was 9 years old, and it's the Westminster Children's Choir. And yes, I've been to the White House to sing with that choir 3 times.
You sang at the White House.
Yes. It was absolutely incredible. There's nothing like it. It was a dream every time. And I was able to sing a solo twice out of those 3 times. Last time I sang a piece entirely on my own with just one other girl, and we arranged it together. And, you know, we were in the room where the president does his press conferences, and to sing in a room like that, and, you know, with the piano behind you, and it was at Christmas time every time, because we always go for Christmas, and with all the decorations and the diplomats coming and going, it's an experience like no other. And that is something I'm really proud of. Thank you so much. And then, you know, mock trial, of course, because this year we have twice the amount of members that I had when I started my captain seat, filling that position. And every year we get better and better. And it's so incredible to watch the team I built grow. And I know that, you know, when I graduate, I'm leaving a well-stocked team in charge. And I was so worried about that in sophomore year, because I was doing everything and I was very, you know, fearful of what would happen to this club when I graduated, because it had almost collapsed in sophomore year. I was the only person, you know, willing to pick up the pieces and try to put it back together. And I did. And it's something beautiful. And I think serenity is the other thing that immediately comes to mind, because it's my pride and joy. It's my everything. It's my escape, my sanctuary. It's a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. I absolutely love everything to do with it. We rehearse, you know, at 7:45 on Sunday nights. And when I get on to that, we use an app called Team Talk. And when I get onto that server, which I dedicated with a Harry Potter theme, because the kids love Harry Potter. And it's just so relaxing, and everybody knows each other by name, and we have social events on Friday nights because we've gotten so big, and I always put the kids in groups with kids of different sections so that everyone can intermingle, and it's just so positive. There's so much positive energy, and, you know, you have kids that, we have a girl that lost her set at 14. We have a girl that lost her set at 8. We have people that have always been visually impaired. And, you know, we have a girl that, you know, she has a really rough time because she's in Africa, but she's making it through, and that's helping her. And music is helping so many of these kids, and they all have their own story, and we get to tell our collective stories together.
Amazing, amazing, Cal. So what are you, and then I'll ask one more question, and then I'll see if Joe or Jane, if there are any other questions from the audience. How's that sound? So if people want to unmute their phone, if they want to ask a question. So my one other question for you would be, what are you excited about for the future? What are you looking forward to, you know, for the future? These are some challenging times. There's some unsettling times. There, people have to make all kinds of challenging, you know, decisions about holidays and things. And what are you excited about? Tell me something you're excited about, Cal.
I am so excited to pursue my college education and to go to law school so that I can, you know, pursue that career as a disability rights attorney. I, the whole college board experience really gave me a perspective of what a career in that field would look like. And although it was definitely a hard time to get through, I don't regret a minute of it because it exposed me to exactly what a life as a disability rights attorney would look like. And I couldn't be more excited. So every class I can take, every step I can move forward that gets me closer to that career, I'm extremely excited about, because the people that I worked with, you know, Kevin Dougherty, Sharon Carver-Weisbaum, and, you know, Mark Rigobono, who's the president of our national chapter, they all gave me a voice. And I gave a voice to as many, you know, blind and deafblind AP students as I could. And I'm excited to do that again for whoever needs it as a disability rights attorney, because I think that's the proper description of what they do, is they give voices and they defend, you know, the rights that the ADA gave us and Section 504 gives us. And they ensure that everyone is, you know, equal under the law. And I showed that we're not, you know, blind to injustice during that. And I would do so again if ever the circumstances called for it. And that's what the job description would be, you know, helping out people in my position. And so I couldn't be more excited to do that.
Awesome. I love it. We're so proud of you, and you're a great advocate.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It means a lot coming from you.
I like to say that, you know, good advocates advocate for themselves, and great advocates help advocate for others. And so you're on your way to being a great advocate. Joe, Jane.
Yeah, I'm here.
And Joe, I know you always have insight and questions, buddy.
I do. A couple of comments. One was, Callie, mark your calendar for February 8th, 9th, 10th. I know you'll be in school, but if you can work something out, you'll be attending the New Jersey delegation for the Washington seminar. It's going to be on virtual, so you're a perfect advocate for that Washington seminar. We'll talk about it. Yep. Secondly, you talked about being a student, college student, and a lawyer. As you know, probably you know this, the National Association of Blind Students and the National Association of Blind Lawyers, get involved with them when you're ready, and they will guide you, and you will guide them. You have a lot to offer.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I've actually already been able to make some connections with the National Association of Blind Lawyers. I was able to have a call with them during convention, you know, get to know Scott LaVar, Laura Wolk, Timothy Elder.
Yep. So, you're on the right track. Yep. You're on the right track.
They're all incredible people. And
my last comment before you turn it back to me at 10 to 3, so real quick, you sang at the White House 3 times, you said?
Yes.
Well, I don't want to one up you. I sang at the White House 4 times, and then my parents painted the house green. So there you go. All right, you can ask new questions when you unmute yourself, say your name, and keep it to a question because we only have a few minutes. Anybody want to ask Callie or David a question?
And Callie, do you are we going to be able to play that one video, that one audio?
I think so. Unfortunately, it's not letting me access the chat feature, so I don't know if I'll be able to put it in necessarily.
Is this the one you put in the agenda?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So just in case it's not, everybody go to your agenda and hit that link. And I did it the other day, a couple of days ago, and it was beautiful. Good
it's
stuff.
It's amazing. I'm so sorry we're not able to play that because you've got to hear it, and it will lift your spirits if you listen to it. And I mean, Callie, how many people is on that video with you that you
that's actually not a lot of us, because we allow for so much flexibility where you don't have to do every piece. So I think that's only about 30 of us, but we still stand 30 strong, and our next piece is going to have closer to like 60 or something. But you know, we allow, you know, if you can't do that piece, it's okay. And at that time, you know, we had a lot of kids that navigating like final exams. So some of them couldn't do it, but everyone tried to contribute in some way.
Joe, I'd love for you, Joe, to maybe I'll forward it to you if you could forward it out to the list, because it's so good and it really made my day when I listened to it. And I'm sorry we didn't come up with the way to play it for everyone, because I'm sure everyone would really enjoy it. So we'll send it out so you can enjoy it.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. The one he's referring to is a video that, because the Sing for Serenity Choir has a YouTube channel. So if you look us up, you can hear any of our performances. There's a team of students that just introduce the piece, and then you actually hear the piece, and then there's the students that close out the piece. And we actually opened it up to adults too recently. So we have adults and youths now.
Sing for Serenity on YouTube. Very good.
Great. And one item, I don't want to forget this, Callie. What school are you planning on attending in the fall? The one that gives you the best scholarship. What is your goal?
My goal? I'm applying to around 7 colleges, so it's difficult to say. But, you know, some of the ones I'm applying to are, Princeton, Swarthmore, Haverford, Villanova, Lafayette, you know, those types of schools.
Excellent. Because next year at our state convention, they sound like they're not too far away. Next year at our state convention in November, we hope it's going to be live. And I'm going to write this note down and hand it over to the student division, which you're a member of. We should do a mock trial at our convention next year.
Absolutely. I would love to help. Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you how excited that makes me. Because I actually know someone that's also part of NJNABS. And she's going to Georgetown. And she wants to be a lawyer as well. So her and I could definitely pilot that if you'd like.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Little projects I give, David. Little projects, don't I?
Yes, Joe. Little projects. Just little projects. You'll be 10 years deep into this one.
I'd be okay with that. Let me be okay with it.
are there any questions for David and or Callie?
There's Jimmy.
Jimmy from?
Von der Leyden.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing, Cal? You're amazing. I just wanted to ask you what age did you start singing?
Oh gosh, I couldn't even tell you. I've been singing since. I mean, my dad says that I sang Sesame Street songs to passersby on the porch when I was 4. So I really couldn't tell you. But thank you so much for the compliment. That means the world to me.
Yeah. You're amazing, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Jimmy. Anyone else? Raise your hand, just give us your name.
Oh, Sherry.
Sherry, yes, Sherry.
Okay, Kelly, congratulations on your success. I'm very proud of you. I want to ask you, Kelly, do you play any particular instruments, and which one is your favorite instrument that you like to play for the choir?
I play the piano. So that's, you know, my dominant instrument. I actually accompany the choir on a couple pieces, and I absolutely love it, because I actually have something, I don't know if I talked about this, called synesthesia, where I can see colors in music. Billy Joel has it, Lady Gaga has it, and, you know, it's really incredible. So it definitely makes music all that much better on a completely other level. Like when I hear a song, I'll be like completely swept up in the, like, a world of like reds and oranges, you know, depending on the song and the chord progression. But that makes piano a lot more of a completely encompassing experience.
Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Lots of people with their hands raised, Joe. I know the time is short.
Well, pick one. Give me their last 4 digits, and that person can raise their hand then, or whatever. Or you have it in front of you. All right. Somebody just, we're going to do this differently than we do normally. So if you have a question, unmute yourself and say your name and give a question.
How about Genevieve?
Genevieve. Oh, that's terrible.
It's really good.
Genevieve is out there? Is that Genevieve White, maybe?
It is.
We also have Linda DeBardinas.
Thank you. Genevieve, if not, we'll skip you for a moment. Linda DeBardinas.
I have not been successful in getting her to unmute.
Linda D, unmute. All right, who else? We'll get back to it if we have time.
This is Ward.
Yes, Ward. Go ahead, buddy.
I was able to bring that link up. It's really a nice performance they did on here.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it on right now.
We hope that you enjoyed our rendition of You Will Be Found. If you enjoyed this performance, please comment suggestions for our next piece. Thank you for listening.
Well, there you go. We'll have to play it through. I don't know if we can do it now or not. Is there any way we can try it? Ward, can you do that? Hello? All right, any other questions? We're going to get it out, Dave. You send me a little note, and Callie, you send me a note. You guys combine something together about this. Give me two or three paragraphs about what you guys did today and put that link there and tell you on YouTube. Whatever you want to do, we're going to send it out. Absolutely. Anybody else with a question? Comment? Linda D., can you unmute? Genevieve, can you unmute?
Yes, this is Linda D. Bardenas.
There you go. Yes, Linda.
Callie, David asked you what the three things are that you're most proud of, or you what are you most proud of, and you said there's three things, but you only named the Westminster Children's Choir. I'm anxious to know what the other things are.
I did name the other two.
It might have cut out, but the other two I was referring to were the mock trial team I captained and the Sing for Serenity Choir that I founded and direct.
Okay, thank you.
And her fourth and fifth is knowing David and knowing me. Other than that,
of course, you better believe it.
Any questions for Kelly and or for David?
Kristen?
This is Kenya from...
Okay, go ahead, Kenya.
Kenya from where?
Pennsylvania. I just wanted to know the YouTube channel again.
Okay, it's called Sing for Serenity Choir, and Serenity is spelled Serenity. So it's Sing for Serenity Choir.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
Anybody else? We have a few more minutes, I think. Let me check the time here.
Yep, you're good. You're good.
Yep, okay. Yep, we've got about three more minutes, I would think. Anybody else with a question? Comment? If not, I'll wrap it up.
We have Christian Pinero.
Christian Pinero, go. Unmute yourself, or we'll unmute you, or however that works. After Christian, is anybody else selling?
There are a few others.
All right, we'll try to go quickly. We missed Christian. We'll try to get back to you. Anybody else?
There's Julius Brahma. Julius?
Well, Julius, unmute yourself, star six. Mike, do you have to unmute them, Michael? Or are they going to unmute themselves?
I send requests. I can't force, and then they have to unmute on their end.
Yep, here you go. So star six yourself, Julius and Kristen. Let's go to somebody else.
Misty Hagen.
He's going to send you a request, and you can unmute yourself. I feel like one of these talk show people on the radio. 15 seconds. Hurry up. It's not working for some reason. All right, so we're going to end it right now. David, thank you for your encouragement to so many people. And Callie, you are a golden star. You have brought smiles to many of our faces, and you share what you know. That's another definition of a leader. Teaching people how to do what you've done, and they come up with different ideas. It's called progress. If the younger generation is not, quote, smarter than the current generation, we stagnate and we fall apart. So you are certainly steps above myself and many other people.
Thank you for allowing me to participate. Kale, I know you have anything else that you wanted to share?
just my gratitude for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. And if anybody, you know what I'll do? If anybody has questions, is it okay if I give out my email address?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. Yep. So if anyone didn't get to ask, I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. So my email is kayleyjb17@gmail.com. So I'll spell my name because it's a little intricate. So kayleighjb17@gmail.com.
All right. Joe, it's so good.
Also, when you send me the email with the links in it and the YouTube stuff, you can put it there too. So we'll send out to the entire distribution list, not just the 80, 90 people on the call. Everybody's got to get it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, it's a privilege being with you. And congratulations to you. And congratulations to Linda and all the new board members. And it's wonderful to be with you, Joe. Thank you for this opportunity.
Super, super, super. Stay on this line. Don't hang up. 4 o'clock is the last presentation already of the convention before the banquet. Banquet will start at 7 o'clock. At 6:30, we'll have some music. I heard Linda picked out special music for my wife. So I don't know what that is. I hope it's not my wedding song, The Monster Mash. That was a joke. I can say it because I'm up here and she's downstairs.
It's not Mission Impossible. I know that.
Jane, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yep. So hang on there. Hang on to this number, and we'll get a start in a few minutes. I'm going to go get set up. And